Okay, today's daf is Machlis Daf Chaf Gimel. We left off in Daf Chaf Beis Amid Beis. We are at the last Mishnah on Chaf Beis Amid Beis. It's a long Mishnah at the end of the Amud. So it says the Mishnah is now finally going to describe at this point in the Masechta. It's not the last Mishnah in the Masechta, but it's close. At this point, it's finally going to describe how exactly we give Malkus. We've discussed the whole rest of the Perek for what you are chayiv Malkus. Now we're going to discuss how we administer the punishment. So says the Mishnah, Ketzad Malkinoso, is that this is not for the faint of heart, this Mishnah. Ketzad Malkinoso, how do we do Malkus? So, Kofesh Tayyada Bal Ha'amud, Helech Vehelech, we tie his two hands to a post, one on each side. The Chazna Knesses Ochiz Bebegadav, and someone who works for the Beis Din grabs his clothing. Im Nikru'u Nikru'u, if they rip, they rip. Im Nifrimu Nifrimu, and if they become shredded, they become shredded. Adshu megalas libo, until his heart is exposed from the grabbing of the clothing. Ve'evin nesuna me'achrav, and there's a stone upon which it's like a pedestal for the person administering the malchus to stand on, that's placed behind the person receiving the malchus. Chazan HaKnesses omid alav, the Chazan HaKnesses stands on that stone. Uritzu biyado, and he has a whip in his hand. Shel egel kfula, of a echel d'shnayim b'shnayim larba, of a doubled over cow whip. It's made from the leather from the hide of a calf, and it's doubled over twice, so it's folded over twice. It's like four whips. Ushtei ritzuos shel chamor olos v'yordos bo, and on the side of the whip, interwoven into the sides of the whip, are straps from a chamor, from a donkey hide, that are also on the sides of the whip. So it sounds like a pretty harsh whip. Yada tefach, its handle is one tefach. Urechava tefach, and its width is a tefach. Verosha maga'as al pikreso, and the top of the whip is supposed to reach to his stomach, to his belly. So umako, so shlush milfan of shteyados mila achrav. And when they whip him, 1/3 of the lashes are in front, and 2/3 are in the back. And they can't whip him while he's standing, nor while he's sitting. Rather, he needs to be leaning over. And the person administering the malchus has to hit him with one hand, using all of his power, all of his strength. And the person who calls out in Beis Din, that calls out certain psukim, reads the following psukim. Apparently, it was someone's job in Beis Din. Right, the mission never tells us that it was someone's job. It just tells us the kore that you know about already reads the following psukim. So the Rivan already points out, the Rivan who's in the place of Rashi in these last few blot in Maseches Makos, 4 lines from the bottom, says Hamishat Pshitalan Debayi Kriya. The fact that you need Kriya, that we're taking as a Davar Pashut. Kedarman Krisus Bikoris Tia Bikriya Tehei Delahachi Ketani Hacha VeHakore. Since it says in Krisus that Bikoris Tihia we darshin Bikriya Tehei, it should be done with Kriya. So we're assuming we already know that you know that it's supposed to be done with Kriya, and therefore the Mishnah working with that assumption that we're already educated as to the idea that there is someone who's Kore. Mishnah just informs us which psukim he is korei. Im lo tishmor lasos v'iflashem es makoscha v'es makos v'gomer v'chozel v'chilas ha-mikra, and then he goes back to the beginning of the pasuk u'shmartim estivrei abris hazos v'choseim v'hurach u'micha peravon. So he reads all of those psukim v'chozel v'chilas ha-mikra, and if it's not, the makos aren't over yet. By the time he finishes, he begins again from the beginning of the pasuk. V'meis tachas yado pater, if the person dies from receiving the lashes, while he's receiving the lashes, the person who was working for the Beis Din administering the lashes is Pater. Hosiflo od ritzua achas umeis hareze gola aliado. But if you add one extra whip beyond what he was supposed to get, and he dies from that, then the guy goes to galus because he killed him bishogeg. Niskalkal bein berei bein b'mayim pater. If the person who's receiving the lashes soils himself, whether he defecates or he urinates out of fear of what's going on to him, he's pater. If he loses control of his systems, he's pater. He doesn't get any more malchus. He's been humiliated enough. We leave him alone. Rabbi Yehuda omer ha'ish berei ve'isha b'mayim. That depends if it's a man or a woman. And a man is only going to be totally humiliated if he actually defecates. Urinating would not be enough, and we would continue to whip him. If it was a woman, though, even if she just urinated, that would be enough to exempt her from any further punishment. That would already be enough to do it. The Rashash points out on this Mishnah, Hosuflo Udrutsua, we said that if you add one extra makkah and he dies, so you go to Golus. So he writes that the Bartanur explains that the situation must be that you were ta'a biminyana, that the person made a mistake in terms of the number of lashes the guy was supposed to receive. And you have to say that way because the ilav hachi avishogi karv lemezid. If he didn't make a mistake in terms of the number, he was just getting really into it and he wanted to give him one extra whip, not intending to kill him, just intending to hurt him because he thought the guy was a Rasha. So that's shogi karv lemezid already. And that you wouldn't even get kapara with galus. So it has to be a situation where it's a real shogeg, so it has to be that he doesn't know, he lost count of exactly how many times he was supposed to hit him. Now, why is it that we rip his clothing? So the Rambam writes that the reason we're koreas begadav till we're megalilibo is because you're not allowed to hit him on the clothing. You can't hit him over the clothing. It has to be directly on his skin because the pasuk says vihikahu and we darshin vihikahu and velo luxuso, that you're supposed to hit him, but you're not supposed to hit his clothing. That's how the Rambam writes. The problem that the Achronim raise is that the Gemara also asks why you have to rip his clothing, and the Gemara gives a different answer. The Gemara says, because it says, V'nikla chichaleinecha, that he's supposed to be humiliated. So the rip his clothing as one of the ways of humiliating him.
It doesn't say you have to, it says, Ochiz v'im.
Yeah, but that's it's describing the process. So you're Ochiz of the clothing and you pull him. So, and Achimigala's Libo, it says.
Oh, so the point is to be
Megal. Right. However it comes off, whether it's ripping or shredding, exactly.
Are we assuming a woman also then would rip the clothing?
So that's a good question. I assume so. I'm not sure exactly how that played out. I don't know, but yeah, I assume so. I don't see why it would be. I don't see anywhere that says it would be different. But yeah, we always have these sensitivities in terms of like by a sota. The Gemara has a whole discussion. Why aren't we worried about the hirhurim of the Pirkei Kohuna that are dealing with the sota? And there are all sorts of the discussions about that. I don't know why there's no such discussion over here about ripping the clothing of a woman. If I recall correctly, there's no discussion in this Gemara about that topic, so I don't know. But anyway, so the Aruch Lener asks, why would the Rambam make up his own reason instead of giving the reason that's mentioned in the Gemara? The Gemara says we're supposed to rip his clothing as a way of humiliating him. The Rambam says it's from a drasha called v'lo luxuso. Now, as with almost everything that it says in the Rambam, he didn't really make it up on his own. It comes from a medrash, comes from a sefri. But still, why would he leave the Talmud Bavli and instead choose a reason mentioned in the sefri? So the Aruch Lener explains that really the primary reason is the drasha like the Rambam writes. But if that were the only reason, it would be enough to be mafshit the clothing ad sheigala eslibo milfanavu milachrav, and you wouldn't have to actually rip it. You would just have to remove them. You wouldn't have to grab them and rip them or shred them, as the Mishnah describes. Hey, you grab them till they rip or shred. You would just be able to say, okay, remove your shirt, and now we're gonna hit you. The fact that you do it in such a way where it's so humiliating, where you yank it off of the guy, so that's going to be considered something that is very humiliating to him. That's why. That's what the Gemara deals with. That's what. That's how the Aruch Lener deals with it. Now, the truth is, where does the Gemara say this? Where does the Gemara say that the reason we rip his clothing is because we humiliate him? So it's probably a reference. Aruch Lener is referring to the first three words of the Gemara. Take a look at the Gemara right now. Says Gemara Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. My taima. What's the reason for this? Mishum Nikla, because of humiliation. Now that's a very vague back and forth in the Gemara, and not only is it very vague, many of the Rishonim take it out. They don't have that girsa of these four words, my taima mishum nikla. Now clearly the Aruch Lener understood, first of all, my taima, it could be going on any line of the Mishnah, my taima, what's the reason for what? So the Aruch Lener clearly understood that we're asking why we rip the clothing, and that's what the Gemara is answering, mishum nikla. But it could be the Rambam, the most pashut answer for the Rambam, why didn't the Rambam use this reason as opposed to the reason of the Sefri, is the Rambam didn't have these four words. It's like most of the Rishonim didn't have these four words, or because the Rambam assumed that these four, even if he did have these four words, that they're going on some other part of the Mishnah. Very, very difficult four words to translate as it is to understand fully which part of the Mishnah it's going on. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Amar Rav Sheshet Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azarya. Minayin l'ritzua shi shel egel. How do we know that the ritzua that they use is from calf skin? Dechsiv, because the pasuk says arba'im yakenu v'samach le'lo sachsum shor b'disho. Because the pasuk says arba'im yakenu, and you give him 40 malchus, and right right near that it says Lusaksum Sharbatisha. So we darshan that the malchus that a person gets must be related to a shar in some way. So it must be that it's with calfskin. Another, we're going to have four statements of Rav Sheshes Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azariah. V'amar Rav Sheshes Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Number two, Rav Sheshes says in the name of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Minayim liyavama shenatul fnei mukas shchin she'in chos minosa. How do we know that if a yavama falls to yibum to a mukas shchin, meaning she was married to a wonderful, handsome prince, and the man dies and they don't have any children, and the guy's brother is a mukas shchin, he's someone that she doesn't want to have any association with. How do we know that we don't muzzle the girl? What does it mean we don't muzzle the girl? We allow her to reject the yibum. If she says, look, I'm not interested, I don't want yibum with this man, I don't want to be married to him, we allow her to reject it. She's allowed to turn down the yibum. How do we know that? Because it says losachsum sharbedisho, and right near losachsum sharbedisho v'samachlei ki yeshvu achim yachtav, that when and it describes the parsha of Yibum. So we see that related to Yibum, and this, by the way, is all so far in Sefer Devarim, where we're dorish smuchim, right in the Mishnah Torah. So we allow her to turn down the Yibum. V'am Rav Sheshes, again number three now. V'am Rav Sheshes Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Anyone who is mevazeh the moadim, which Rivan translates over here, moados, chalo shel moed, not referring to the Yom Tovim per se, but chalo moed. Anyone who doesn't treat chalo moed properly, it's as if he's been oved avodah zarah. D'chsiv Elohei maaseh chalo sasalcha, says you shouldn't make idols. V'samach lei es chagamatzos tishmar, that you have to observe chagamatzos and all the other holidays. So we see that if someone doesn't treat the holidays properly, it's considered as if he's been Ovid of Odezara. Number four, V'amar Rav Sheshes Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Kalam Asapra Lashon Hara, V'kalam Akaba Lashon Hara, V'kalam Meirei D'Sheker, anyone who does any of these three Averos, speaking Lashon Hara, accepting Lashon Hara, and testifying falsely about someone, ra'ui lashlicha l'klavim. It doesn't say that you're chayiv lashlicha l'klavim, but ra'ui, that we view this person as someone who's deserving of being thrown to the dogs. D'chsiv l'kelev tashlicha noso. It says l'kelev tashlicha noso in the pasuk about nevela. V'samach lei, and right near that pasuk it says losisa shem hashav. So kari beinami lo sasi. Losisa shem hashav means not to receive, nor to cause to be received. So that's the Mesapra Lashon Hara, as well as the Mekabel Lashon Hara. Now, the Pasuk goes on to say, the full Pasuk is, Lo Sisa Shem Hashav, Al Tashas Yadcha Im Rasha Lios Eid Chamas. So the Eidos Sheker is Mefurish in the end of the Pasuk. So that's why you need the Vegomer of that Pasuk also to see how all three are derived from that Pasuk. Okay, a couple of quick points. So we said the Yavama that falls with name Mukashchin, we're not Chosem her. We don't make her shut up. We allow her to say, I'm not interested in this guy. The Rov Rishonim assume, Rashi in Yavamas and others assume, that not only do we not force her to do Yibum, but we do force him to do chalitza. Meaning she doesn't just remain in Aguna. It's not a situation where we say, okay, you don't have to do Yibum, but good luck living on your own for the rest of your life. If he's not interested in doing chalitza, we're not going to force him. No, most assume that we do force him to do chalitza. The Ritva, however, asks that there is a Gemara Maseches Yevamos Daf Kuf Vav Amud Aleph that says as follows, chalitza muta'as kshera, get muta pasul. If a chalitza was done based on a false premise, we fooled the guy into doing a chalitza, we told him there's no such thing as Yibum, we told him that by doing this chalitza, you're going to be really acquiring her as your wife, not getting rid of her. They lied to him about what the process is, so that's a kashra chalitza. But a get muta, if we told him, oh, if you give her this document that says, harem ugreshes, really, it's reaffirming your vows, and it really makes her, right, so that's going to be a pasul get. So that's not a way to solve the aguna problem by a get muta. The Gemara goes on to say, chalitza mu'useis psula, get mu'usa kasher. If we force a chalitza out of a guy, it's pasul. You force a get out of a person, it's kasher. Now a get, Yakofanos Achi Omorotsani, right? Get Musa Kasher is where you force him to divorce her. And on that same, on the flip side of that, we said if you do the same thing with Chalitza, it's possible. So asks the Ritva and all the other Rishonim who say that in the case of where the guy's a Mukashchin, granted, our Gemara says, Beferish, we don't force her to take the Yibum, but all the Rishonim want to say we do force him to do the Chalitza. How could you force him to do the chalitza? If you force him to do the chalitza, it's going to be puzzle. So based on that, the Ritva is mechadesh, that even by a mukashkin, the Gemara never says that we force him to do the chalitza. And in fact, we don't force him to do the chalitza. Rather, what will we do? We'll lie to him. We'll fool him. We'll make it a chalitza mutas. We'll tell him, oh yeah, if you do this thing with the shoe, then she's going to become your wife forever. So, or you'll get $1 million or something. We lie to him. And we make it a chalitza mutas. But you can't make it a chalitza mu'usa. That's how the Ritva says. Now, what are all the other Rishonim going to do with that Gemara? What's Rashi and all the other Rishonim going to do with that Gemara? So the Ritva suggests that maybe what they'll say is as follows. That al korchach, they're going to have to say that a chalitza mu'usa's puzzle is only in a place where me'ikar adin, you're not supposed to be forcing him. Meaning over here, this is a situation of mukashchin where she's not obligated to take the yibum. So me'la, me'ikar adin, you're allowed to force him. So in those situations where you're allowed to force him, you're allowed to. But in most regular situations, if you force him to do the chalitza, it's going to be puzzle. A get mu'usas kasher is dafka b'makom that you're allowed to force him in hadin. So it turns out that when we say get mu'usa and chalitza mu'usa, we're actually talking about two different cases. So that's the dochak in the Gemara in Yevamos, because it actually turns out that you're going to have to say, even though the Gemara contrasts the two, a get mu'usa versus a chalitza mu'usa, it turns out it's not really a contrast, because it's not talking about the same case. One more ha'ara. Rav Sheisha said in the name of Rav Lozman Nazario also, that someone who's mevazeh the mo'ados, well, a couple more ha'aras, the someone who's mevazeh the mo'ados is kilu is oved avodah zarah. So the Marsha explains, because being mevatel the mo'ados in their right times actually in our history has caused avodah zarah. What did Yeravam do when he wanted to make sure that people would not gravitate toward Rechavam and toward the Beis Hamikdash, toward Yerushalayim and the Malchus that was established there? He set up his own avodah zarahs, right? And what were the why? Because he knew that if everyone is going to be Ola L'Regel on the Shalosh Regalim to Yerushalayim, they're going to see that there's Yeshiva La'azara for Rechavam, because in Yeshiva La'azara L'malchus Beis Dov Bulvad, and not for Yeravam. And they're going to say, oh, look at that, Rechavam's the real king, Yeravam's not the real king. So he needed to stop people from being Ola L'Regel, from observing the Mo'ados properly. How did he do that? He set up Egle HaZahav. He set up avodah zarahs. So in our history, we see that it's a direct link between being mevazeh the mo'ados, not understanding like Rivan that it's dafka chalamoi that we're talking about, but just in general, ignoring the mo'adim in general of being olah the regel on the mo'adim, and that directly led to avodah zarah. The Maral in Chidush Agados explains that the mo'adim were nikva liYisrael in order that people should be oved Hashem, in order that people should have time to be oved Hashem. He said the term mo'ad is a lashon of chibur. It's a lashon of connection, connecting to something. V'no'aditi lach means that I will connect to you, right? That B'nai Yisrael are mischaber and misva'adim together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Maral, someone who's mevaza the mo'ados, says that he doesn't want to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's he going to end up with if he's not connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He's going to end up with Avodah Zarah. That's how the Maral explains the connection. And one final point before we go weiter, the Gemara had also said, the fourth Chiddush of Rav Sheshes Mishum Rav Lozman Nazaria, that if someone does these three serious averos of Misar, that he deserves to be thrown to the dogs. Of all things, why dogs? Why does he deserve to be thrown to the dogs? So the Ben Yoyada explains, very interesting. He says the Sefer Pachad Yitzchak writes, not Rav Hutner's Pachad Yitzchak, the older Sefer Pachad Yitzchak writes, that the Rok HaKalav Manichmos Al Gabe Makahu Merape, that the saliva of a dog has therapeutic value, that when you put it on a wound, it actually causes the wound to heal. So he says, if that's the case, that a dog therefore has the ability to be merape bilashono, to use his tongue as a refuah, to make things better with his lashon, with his tongue. And what did all three of these people do? They caused tsar, they caused problems, they caused hurt, they caused pain with their lashon. So the way to fix that is the kelev tashlichano, so you throw him to the dogs. Marsha explains that the mesaper lashon hara and the others in this group are thrown dafka to the dogs dogs because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mekapech schar kol bria. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not withhold reward from any of the creations, any of the creatures, and that's why the Torah says to take treifos and throw it to the dogs, because lo chartzu l'shonam on the night of Makas Becharos. They didn't wag their tongues at the Jewish people. So mida keneged mida, that this dog that was not a ben das still didn't wag its tongues at the Bnei Yisrael, and yet this person who we're talking about, these three Ovrei Avera, are choretz l'shonam, to speak badly against other people and to be mekabel bad speech about other people. So the mida keneged mida is that they're going to be thrown to the dogs who knew how to use their tongue properly, and that will be the punishment for the people who didn't know how to use their tongue properly. Okay, says Gemara Vayter, Ushtei Ritzuos, we're in the fifth wide line now in Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. Yeah. So that's a good kasha. I don't know. Maybe it's because we're not deriving a din from that. Right. That's one second. The previous ones. Yeah. By the Avama and the Mukashchin, we were deriving a din. Right. Over here, everything, it just becomes ki'ilu, deserves to, but it's not, it's drushas, it's not, right?
You
certainly don't have to learn a halacha from every smichus and dvarim. I'm saying the one that we do learn a halacha is from Mishnah Torah. So maybe I don't know. Ushtei ritzuos. So we said that there were two ritzuos that was folded over. There was the ritzu of the egel that was folded over twice, and then you had shtei ritzuos of chamor that were sort of woven into the ritzu of the egel. Tana shel chamor kedar sheigalala leder of chista yada shor konehu v'chamor evos ba'alav. The shor knows who its owner is, and the chamor knows the trough of its owner. Yisrael lo yada, but Klal Yisrael didn't recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Omer Kodesh Baruch Hu yavo misha makir evos ba'alav v'yiparim misha eno makir evos ba'alav. So Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to do it in such a way that the one that knows Avos Ba'alav, the trough of its owner, should come and pay back from the person who obviously didn't know Avos Ba'alav. Yodat Hefach, Amar Abai, Shema Mina Kol Chad V'Chad L'Fum Gavei Avdinan Lei, that they adjusted but they had a different size whip for every single person, because people come in all different shapes and sizes, and it had to get ad kreso. So ad kreso on different people is going to be a different amount. So Amar Le Ravi, Imke Nafesh L'Ritzuos Tuva. What kind of arsenal did they have of whips? They must have had a different whip for every single person. That's unbelievable. Ela Amar Rava Avkasa Isle. It had some sort of slip knot where you could adjust the size of the whip. Kibayim miktarbei, and when they needed to, they would tighten it. Kibayim arpapa, and when they needed to, they would loosen it a little bit, make it a little bit longer. But there's no way they had an arsenal of whips that was able to fit every single size of person. Malkinos of chuliminani mili. How do we know that they did 2/3 in the back and 1/3 in the front? Amrav kana damakrav v'yipilu ashofet v'yikol lefan of kedei rishaso b'mispar risha achas milfan of shtei rishayos min achrav. 1/3 was in front, 2/3 were in the back. Ein malkin also. Amrav chista amrav yochanan. Minayin l'ritzuah shehimuch peles. How do we know that the ritzuah is supposed to be doubled over? Shnemar v'hipilo. Because it says v'hipilo, and the marsha says we darshan it as v'hichpilu, that they would double it over lashon of kefel. I frek the Gemara, you can't use that pasuk to teach us that din. Vami b'ilei l'gufei. We already needed that pasuk to teach us the din, that he can't be standing, he can't be lying down, he needs to be leaning. Im kein lichtov kra yatihu, mahipilu. But there's a better way to say leaning. If that's all the Gemara really, if that's all the pasuk wanted to tell us, then it should have said viatehu. Why did it say viapilu? The fact that it chose such a lashon, shema min atarti, must be that it's coming to teach us an extra din as well. Unbelievable. We take the 12-pound weakling, the class nerd who is the smartest kid, the smartest guy, but doesn't really have too much koach. He's the one that does the whipping in the Beis Din. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afilu chaseri mada v'yaseri koch. No, Rabbi Yehuda says, Adrabi, you take the linebacker, you take the guy who's not so smart, but he has plenty of strength. Amar Rava kavase, not to generalize, Amar Rava kavase d'Rabbi Yehuda. So Rava says, kavase d'Rabbi Yehuda mistabra, it's more logical to assume like Rabbi Yehuda, that you take the guy who doesn't have too much knowledge but has a lot of strength, tichsiv lo Yosef pen Yosef, because the Torah says, don't add any more than you're supposed to whip him. If the guy doing the whipping is someone who's not too bright, so you understand very well why he needs such an azari. You need to warn him not to do more. If he's just a buffoon who's going to be beating on the guy, so you need to tell him, okay, stop. But if the person is a wise person, he's an intelligent person, so you need to be masir not to hit more. He knows. You told him hit 39, he'll hit 39. For Rabbanan, the Rabbanan will respond, no, it's just the opposite. Ein mizars and el mizaris. It only helps to warn people who are intelligent. If someone's totally unintelligent anyway, some warning's not even going to help. You can tell him whatever you want; he's not going to listen.
Is there no one smart and strong to be had?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why one has to come at the expense of the other. Tana kashu magbia magbia b'shtayada v'kashu maka maka b'yado achas. When he lifts up the whip, he lifts it up with two hands, but when he comes down and whips, it's only with one hand. Ki hechi delei semididei, so that it could come with the full force of his strength. That's the idea. The Cheshek Shlomo over here says, L'chor, this idea that the Tzisere Mada would not need to be Masir, he says, L'chor Tamua, this Pasuk of Lo Yosef is already needed anyway for an Azhara for Chavul B'chavero. That if you're Chavul B'chavero, Pachos Mishav Puta, how do we know you get Malkus? From Lo Yosef. And it's also used as the Azhara for Maka Aviviimo. The Medrash says in Parash Mishpatim, in Yerushalmi, in Hanachnakin, that had it, where's the Azhara in the Torah of Maka Aviviimo? It's from this Pasuk of Lo Yosef Pen Yosef. So he says, "V'ulai demaksha desagi b'kra delo Yosef l'chudei pen Yosef lamali." Maybe what the Gemara is really asking is, all you needed to say is Lo Yosef. Why do you have to, for the Asharas? Why do you also need to say pen Yosef? Must be coming to teach me about the kind of guy we have working for the Beis Din. It's the kind of person who such an Azhara will be valuable for, and that's what our Gemara is darshaning. However, the Cheshek Shlomo says, I don't think that's correct, because he says, I've written elsewhere that the two psukim of Lo Yosef Pen Yosef are actually two separate azharos. One is for Chavul B'Chavero, and one is for Maka Aviviimo. And he says the value of saying that is it answers a kasha of Tosos and Sanhedrin Daf Pei Hei, where Tosos asks that, Hechi Laki Alav Delo Yosef, Ha'havi Lav Shenitin Lasharos Misas Bezdin. How could one ever get Malkus for the Lav of Lo Yosef? Isn't it Nitzal Nasaras Mises Bezin? Because that's the same pasuk we use to teach us about Maka Aviviimo, which is Nitzal Nasaras Mises Bezin. So the Cheshek Shlomo said, but according to my pshat, it works out really well, because it's not the same pasuk. Lo Yosef is about Chavul B'Chaveiro Pachas Mishav Pruta. Pen Yosef is about Maka Aviviimo. Two different phrases in the pasuk, so it's not Nitzal Nasaras Mises Bezin. The only problem is, then you run into trouble with our Gemara. What's the Gemara darshaning about? Who needs an Asara? Who doesn't need an Asara not to hit extra? We need those psukim for an Asara for elsewhere. Pasha says you have to say, yeah, but it's Afal Pike, and even though we use these as Asaras for elsewhere, Eina Mikra Yotzim De Pshuto, and the Pasha Pshat of the pasuk is, while you're whipping him, don't give him more than he deserves. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter at the two dots. Kore Kore, the guy who's calling out the psukim calls out on Rabbanan. Hagadol Shabbadayan Kore Hasheni Monavashli Shiomari Kohu, the Gadol Shabbadayan calls out the psukim. The second guy counts how many malchus you've given him so far, and the third guy is actually hitting him. I'm sorry, the third guy says, Hiko, hit him. Bizman shemakam ruba marich, bizman shemakam wetis makatzer. If he's going to be receiving a lot of malchios, so the person reading the psukim reads it nice and slowly, and when he's giving a few malchios, so he's got to read them quickly. Va'anantan chozel chilsa mikro. Why should it change the speed if they're giving a lot of malchios? Doesn't he just go back and repeat it again anyway? So mitzvah l'tzam same. No, the idea is, ideally, he should finish the psukim pumped right when they finish the malchus. But vilot simtsim, if he didn't time it properly and he didn't work it out that way, chazul tchilas amikra, then he goes back. It's only a b'diavet that the Mishnah says that he goes back to the beginning of the pesukim and reads them over again. Tan rabbanan makarabba, ein li ela makarabba, makam mu'etes minayin, I only know about makarabba. What about makam mu'etes? Tamalam lo Yosef. That teaches you that the first ones are already considered a makarabba. They're already considered something that was a major whipping. So it's not, this is true. This not this whole procedure is true of Lo Yosef. The whole din of Lo Yosef is true whether you're giving him the full Malkus, a Makarabo, or whether you're giving him some abbreviated version of the Malkus because he can't handle more than that. The Aruch Lener asks a very fundamental question over here. It sounds from our Gemara that while you're giving the Malkus, all three Dayanim need to be present. We know that you need a Bezin of three in order to administer Malkus, and it sounds that all three Dayanim are present at the time of the Malkus. So Aruch Lener asks, by the Gemara and Sanhedrin Darshins, how do we know you need a Bezin of three for Malkus? Because it says, V'shaftum, which is Shnayim, and we know, Ein Bezin Shakul, Samasifin Alei Morecha. That's how we know that you need three, right? But by the time of the Malkus, it says, all it says is, V'yipilu HaShofet. Sounds, it's a Lashon Yachid. So where would we have a darshan that you need three? The whole source of the darshan that you need three is the plural lashon that the Torah uses when it talks about the din Torah. And then we say in Bezin Shakel, so you add a third guy. But it says that by giving the Malkus, it only speaks about one judge. And furthermore, why is Malkus more chamer than Misa? By Chayavi Misos, it doesn't say anywhere that you need at the time of the Misa the Bezin Shalasim Rishlosha that was dan him to be there at the time of the Misa. So why should Malkus be any different? So he says by Malkus, the Mishnah says that Omdinosom Yachal Kalbel Arbaim Alo, that we estimate whether he can handle 40 or not. So that Omed, that estimation, has to be a Din Torah, or at the very, it has, it's either a Din Torah, or it's at the very least a Halachal Moshe Misinai. Otherwise, it would be an Isser to be Gorea from the Malkus against the Din Torah. So so it has to be that he either gets 40 Malkus, or if he's not able to be Mekabel, he's going to be Patel Gamri. That would have been the din. The idea of Omed has to be a din d'oraisa. To come up with some other number besides for 40 or 0, that has to be a din d'oraisa. So you see that the Omed, that the estimation that they do, how much he's able to be Mekabel, has to be a din Torah. So he says, near a Pashut, says the Aruch Lener, it's therefore Pashut, that even if they were Amdu B'tchila for more, they initially estimated that he'd be able to handle more. And then after he got some of the Malkus, they see that he can't handle more, they only go after the second estimation. So you need an omed, you need a new estimation, you need a new evaluation at each and every makah, if he's able to be makabel or not. And that's a din. So you need three dayanim there for the din. That's why dafka, it's not because to administer an onesh. It's an ongoing din Torah. Every malkus is a new din Torah. So that's why you need the three dayanim there. That's the idea. This idea of makar rabba, there's an interesting insight. The Cheshek Shlomo says that he heard from his brother, from Achi, Hagon Zatzal, that to be mefarish based on the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Perek Yotas of Ilch Sanhedrin that he counted together all the different averos, all the different los haseis, for which you're chayav malchus, and he came out that the total number is shnei meos v'sheva, 207 that los haseis they get malchus for. So says the Cheshek Shlomo in the name of his brother, al pizat Cheshek Shlomo Shlomo Lemi Vilna. Right, I think he was a brother of the Gaon, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So he says in the name of, or maybe he's a brother of Salmi Vilna, I'm not sure. The son of the Gaon, I'm not sure. But he says, based on this, that's what Chazal were Maramis to over here. It says, Makar Rabba, the Lamid al Rishonos. What does that mean? What are the Rishonos? Rabba are the other Malkios. Reish Beis Hei is 207. There's a gematria of 207. That those are the Malkios that are communion Rabba. That's Reish Zayin, right? Rabba is 207. That's the Rishonos, the other Averos for which one gets Malkus. Okay, Niskalka, we then said that if the person dirties himself when he's about to get the, when he's getting the Malkus, so he's Pater from the rest then. Tan Rabbanan. So we said in a Braisa, Echadish Vechadisha Berei V'lobimayim Divra Meir. Meir holds that whether it's a man or a woman is getting the Malkus, only if they defecate, but not if they urinate. If they urinate, they still deserve to get more malchus. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ha'ish breve isha b'mayim, that a man is only going to get off the hook if he defecates, a woman even if she urinates. V'cham momrim, echlish vechel isha b'in b'rei b'in b'mayim. And the Chum say, no matter how a person loses control of their systems, whether it's a man or a woman, they're automatically off the hook. V'atanya, but don't we have a brayso, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, echlish vechel isha b'rei, that Rabbi Yehuda says, men and women are both only if they defecate. Now, all Rabbi Yehuda means in the Braisa is that certainly if they defecate, they're both going to be off the hook. But it's true that a woman might be off the hook even with less than that, even if she only urinates. He just wasn't addressing that situation in the Braisa. If they tie him down to get Malkus, and he runs away from Beis Din before he gets anything, he's pater. So frekt the Gemara, Meisvei, Kala, Bein Barishona, Bein Bishnia, Potrinoso. If he loses control of his bowels, whether it be the first time you lift the whip, or whether, meaning you haven't whipped him yet, or whether it be the second time you lift the whip, he's off the hook. Nifska Ritzua Bishnia Potrinoso, Barishona in Potrinoso. If the whip breaks the second time you lift it, he gets off the hook, he's done. But if the whip breaks the first time you lift it, he's not off the hook, you just get another whip. So I might. Why shouldn't he be off the hook? Lavi Karatz. Why don't we treat him like someone who ran away? And if someone who runs away is pater. So he answers the Gemara, Hasam Ratz, Hachala Ratz. No, part of the humiliation is having to run away. That's part of the punishment, and that's why he's off the hook. Tan Rabbanan, Amdu Lich Sheyilke, they estimate and they evaluate if he will. When he gets Malkus, they say there's no way he's not going to lose control of his bowels at the very first whip. So then Potrinoso, then you don't give him any Malkus, because the Malkus is not supposed to cause such humiliation that he loses complete control of himself. But if the evaluation is that you're going to whip him and then when he leaves Beis Din he's going to lose control of himself, then you still do give the Malkus. It's not as humiliating to lose control later as much as it is right there in Beis Din. So what if he loses control before you even whip him? So then you do give him the whipping. The reference is to someone who, as a result of the whipping, loses control, not just as a result of being scared about the whole process. Okay, new Mishnah. Anyone who's chayiv kares that gets malchus is off the hook from the kares. As soon as you give him malchus, he immediately becomes like achicha again, like your brother. He gets off. He's no longer going to be chayiv kares. That's Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel. In fact, back 500 years ago, when they wanted to reinstitute smicha in the times of Mari Bei Rav and the Maralbach. Right, when they reinstituted smicha and tzfat, we know about this tkufa in history. The Beis Yosef had smicha, the Alshich, they reinstituted the smicha based on a Rambam that holds that if you get all the Chachmei Adar together and they're all maskim to give the smicha, you don't need Ishmi Piyish from Moshe Rabbeinu, because the Rambam asks a very stark akasha. He says if you need Ishmi Piyish from Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to need a Sanhedrin in order to build the Beis HaMikdash, and that's going to come before Tchias HaMeisim. So how are you going to have a Sanhedrin? No, you're not going to have anyone qualified, anyone who has smicha. So he says there has to be a way that you can reinstitute smicha without Ishmi Piyish, and that's if you get all of Chachmei Yisrael to maskim. So what was the motivation 500 years ago? It fizzled out after a while, but what was the motivation 500 years ago to reinstitute the smicha? It was this Mishnah. The Mishnah says that chayavi krisus that get malchus are off the hook from the kares. There were Jews after the Inquisition that were living as Christians and had to pretend they were something they weren't and that were observing other religions, and they said we want malchus because we know that we're chayav kares for that which we've done and we want to get off the hook from kares. So they were begging for malchus, so they decided to accommodate, but you can't give malchus unless you have Beis Din Musmachin. So that was the whole motivation to begin with, to reinstitute the smicha. Anyway, Vam Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel, Mayim over Avera Achas Notan Afshu Ala Hosam Mitzvah Achas Alachas Kamav Kamav. Someone who's over a single Avera, we're going to take away his Nefesh, so all the more so. Someone who does Mitzvah Shatinasin Lan Afshu, all the more so that he's given a Nefesh. Rabbi Shimon Rimikomo Hulamach Never Vinixra Nefashos Ha'osos Va'omer Asher Yasa Osam Ha'adam V'chai Bahem. Anyone who sits still, not violating an avera, is given schar as if he did a mitzvah. Shimon bar Rebbe Omer, Harei Omer Rach Chazak Leviltia Chol Adam, Ki Adam Hu Anefesh. So Ma'im Adam Shenaf Shel Adam Katzim Menu. When it comes to blood, which we by nature are disgusted by, Haporish Menu Mekabel Schar. Still, if you don't need blood, you get schar for that. Gezel Va'arayo Shenaf Shel Adam Mesavlen. Those averas that a person actually naturally desires. Desires them, a parish mehen, alachas kama v'kama. Someone who stays away from those averos, all the more so, she yiska lo, ul darosav, atsof kaladaros, that it's going to be a great suchus for him and for all of his family throughout all of eternity. Rebbe Chanani ben Akashi, Omer Ratz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zachos Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create extra zuchuyos for Klal Yisrael, he wanted to benefit Klal Yisrael, therefore he made made up. He expanded Torah mitzvah. Shemar Hashem chafetz matzgo yagdil Torah v'yadir. If Hashem wants to be matzdik us, what did he do? He was magdil the Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Isurim like don't eat blood. So every moment that we're not eating blood, we're being kind of mitzvah losasei by not eating the blood, even though it's something that we don't even like, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to get more schar. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Chalukin alav chaver v'al Rabbi Hanani ben Gamliel. Rabbi Hanani ben Gamliel's colleagues disagreed with him about this idea that if you get malchus, you're potter from kares. Am Rav Adi Barava, Amri Bei Rav, Taninan ein bein Shabbos Yom HaKippurim el shezez donu b'dei adam zez donu b'dei kares. The big difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur is that violation of Shabbos b'mezid, you get chiyuv misa b'dei adam. Violation of Yom Kippur b'mezid, you get kares. V'emisa, but if it's true that you can get malchus and then you can get off the hook from your kares, then Yom Kippur also a violation of emezid could get you a punishment b'dei adam and get your malchus. So Rav Nachman says that's assuming like Rabbi Yitzchak, who holds that chayavi krisus don't get malchus. The Tanya Rabbi Yitzchak or chayavi krisus b'chlal hayu, that chayavi krisus were included in with all the other los ases in the Torah. V'lama yatzis kares b'achoso. Why does it dafka say kares by achoso lo donu b'kares v'lo b'malchus, to tell us that by achoso you get kares and not malchus? Ravashi Yamar afilu temer rabbanan. You could even say that it's going like the rabbanan, where the contrast between Shabbos and Yom Kippur could even be going like the shita of the rabbanan. Ze ikers dono b'dei adam. Ze ikers dono b'dei shemayim. By Shabbos, the iker punishment is a punishment b'dei adam. By Yom Kippur, it's true you can get malchus also, but the iker punishment is b'dei shemayim. Amr Rav Adi Barav Amr Rav Halach Rabbi Chananim ben Gamliel. The Halach is like Rabbi Chananim ben Gamliel. Someone who's chayv kares that gets malchus is off the hook from the kares. Amr Rav Yosef man saluk leil. So he says, wait a second, you went up to heaven and you asked them if they're going to still give kares after we give them malchus? I mean, that's not a din that's paskin down here, and we don't know, we're going to give them malchus, and of course Baruch will still decide whether he's going to give the kares or not. So Amalei Abai El Hadam Rabbi Shua Ben Levi says, if that bothers you, then the following should bother you also. We know that there are three things that were done in Bezen Shalmata, and the Bezen Shalmala was maskin. Man salik leila v'asav amar. Aye, how do we know Bezen Shalmala was maskin? Who went up and asked? Sa Ella Kroy Kadashinan. Hakanami Kroy Kadashinan. Just like we can dash in Psukim to learn a din, we can dash in Psukim to learn what's going on up in Shemayim as well. Gufa. There are three things that Bezen Shalmata did that the Bezen Shalmata was maskim to. Elohein. Mikra Megillah, Sheila Shalom B'Shem, Vavas Meiser. The idea of Kriyas Megillah, the idea of greeting someone using the Shem Hashem, and the idea of bringing Meiser, which the Rivan over here understands is the Takanas Ezra, that Meiser, as a punishment to the Levium, the Meiser Rishon was not going to exclusively go to the Levium anymore. It would go to the Kohanim as well, because the Levium didn't come with Ezra back to Eretz Yisrael. Mikra Megillah Duxiv Kima V'Kibla Yehudim Kima L'Mala Mash Kibla L'Mata. It means that up in Shemayim they were happy about it. Ushela Shalom Duxiv V'Nei Boaz Bami Beis Lechem V'Yomer L'Kotzrim Hashem Machem. Boaz greets the Kotzrim and it says Hashem Machem V'Omer, and it also says when the Malach greets Gidon Hashem Imach Gibor Imcha Gibor Achayil Mai V'Omer. Why do we need the second pasuk V'Chitem Boaz Who Daven Midaitei Mishmael Askima Al Yado? Because lest you say that was just Boaz acting on his own, but no one ever was masking in Shemayim. Tashema. That's why you have a malach saying it as a second raya. Havas Meiser Dechsev. Where do we know that Havas Meiser was something that they were maskim in Shemayim? Hevius kol Meiser al beis haotzer v'yitarif bevesi b'chanun nina b'zos. Amr Hashem tzvakos im lo aftach lechem es arubas haShemayim varikosi lechem bracha ad b'li dai. My ad b'li dai. What does it mean? We're going to get bracha ad b'li dai. Amr Rami Barav ad sheyivlus if sosecha milomar dai. Till our lips are worn out from saying enough already. That's how much bracha we're going to have. Amr Blazer begimul mekamos ofir ruach hakodesh ofir ruach kodesh. There were three places where Ruach HaKodesh was evident here in Bezin Shalmata. Bebezinu Shal Shem, Ubezinu Shal Shmuel Aramasi, Ubezinu Shal Shlomo. How so? Bebezinu Shal Shem, Dechsev, Vayakar Yehuda Vayomer, Tzadka Mimeni. Yehuda says that she's more righteous than I am. Well, how does Yehuda know that he's the one that made her pregnant? Maybe just like he slept with her, someone else slept with her. Maybe the pregnancy is from another man. How does he know to say tzadka mimeni? Yatzabaskal liyamra mimenu yatzakavushim, that Baskal came out and said that it actually came from him. Bebezino shal shmol d'chsev, hinni anu di neged Hashem v'neged Meshicho, eshar mi lakachti v'yomer lo ha-shaktanu v'lo r'tzasanu, v'yomer eid. Hashem ve'ed Meshicho kilometzasim biyadi mu'uma vayomer aid. So the Shmuel says, I didn't take anything from any of you, and Hashem and his Mashiach should be the aid to that, that that's true, that I never took a penny from anybody here. And they and Vayomer aid. Vayomer? Vayomrumi Bayalei. It should say they all responded aid. Yatza Baskal, so it must be that the Baskal came out. Va'amra ani aid bedavrzeh. And Bezino Shoshlomo, how do we see that Ruach Chodesh was Bezino Shoshlomo? Dixiv Vayan Amel Vayomer Tznula as a Yelad Achai Va'meis Lotemisu. He Imo. He declared who the mother was in the case of cutting the baby in half. So Mina Yada. Dilma Yarume Miarma. So Yatza Baskal Vamra Hi Imo. How did Shlomo HaMelech know that that was the mother? Maybe it was just a big trick that the woman knew that that's how he would determine the halacha. So it must be that a Baskal came out and said, this is the mother. Okay, two more lines. Amarava Mimai. Dilma Yehuda Kibin Dechash of Yarkav Yomei Vishrami Dechazin and Chaskinan Delo Chazin and Loma Chaskinan. How do you know there was Ruach HaKodesh by Yehuda? Maybe he did the Cheshbon. The exact amount of days turned out that he was the one that must have slept with her, and he knows he slept with her. He doesn't know of anybody else, so he assumed it was him. Shmuel Nami Kuli Yisrael Kariul B'Lashon Yichidi Dechsev Yisrael Nosha BaHashem. And by Shmuel it says Vayomer, but sometimes all of Klal Yisrael is referred to as a singular unit. And Shlomo Nami Midahak Merachamta V'Aloka Merachamta El Gemara. So must say Shlomo Melech also. Maybe it's just from the fact that this one was Merachim, the other one wasn't Merachim. El Gemara must be a tradition. There's no real raya that there in fact was Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, tomorrow we'll finish Maseches Makos.